Okay, everyone, let's begin. Let's start with a couple of questions, shall we? Since we're all here together, questions you may have heard before, but hopefully new answers we're going to work together on. Let's start with a question. Put your hand up if you're Jewish, please. Wow, all of you? That's amazing. Here at Stern College. Okay, so I have a question for you. What is a Jew? Let's start with some basics. It's not rhetorical. I'll take an answer. What exactly is a Jew? Before we find out what Jews actually do and believe, let's figure out what exactly we are. Yes. Just start with your names again, because this is the first class still. You are?
Jordan.
Jordan, yes, Jordan.
I was talking about this with someone over the summer, and she told me that it was someone who believes in one God and believes that God gave us the Torah.
Says Jordan, is it a person who believes in one God?
But must be possible.
Okay. Let's take a few more answers, and then we'll...
I said, and that God gives the Torah.
You've got good friends, Jordan. Anybody else? Very good. Thank you, Jordan, for that. That was very helpful. Anybody else? Someone approaches you on the street and says, what are you? And you say, I'm Jewish. What does that mean? Well, I'm Jewish. I'm like Jewish. What are you going to say to them when they ask you, what is that? You're like, well, we eat bagels. When I go shopping, it's only wholesale, never buy retail, bargain basement prices only. What exactly is this whole Jew thing all about? Yes, your name again?
Emily.
Emily, yes, Emily.
It's like a culture.
A culture? What does a culture mean?
A culture is a group of people who collectively follow the same type of lifestyle.
So you're saying a group of people who follow the same type of lifestyle.
Or an extreme lifestyle.
I'm going to get the word lifestyle down here. We Jews are definitely very stylish, so I'll put that in over here. Okay, yeah, thank you. It's a religion. Okay. What kind of religion? Big one, small one, fat one, thin one, big one, crazy one?
A Jewish one.
Good, very, very good. A religion? It's a Jewish religion. Okay. By the way, I don't think that's what you would say to someone who asked you what Judaism is. Yeah?
I guess it's a person who believes in the laws of Moses.
A person who believes in laws of Moses.
When he gave us the Torah.
What's Moses? Like Moses?
Moshe Rabbeinu. I start translating into Hebrew. You go from Hebrew to English, and then you have to go from English to Hebrew. Moses is Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes?
A Jew has a
godly
soul.
As a what?
A godly soul.
You went to Chabad, right? Mm-hmm. Ah, I can tell. I'm right, yeah? You get to know. A Jew has a godly soul. So if someone asks you what a Jew is, you'd answer these things. A person believes in one God, we're a culture, a lifestyle, we're a religion, we believe in the laws of Moses, we have a godly soul.
It depends who asks.
Okay. Let's say a secular Jew. A secular Jew says, I want to know what a Jew is. What am I? I'm Jewish.
I would say tradition.
You say tradition?
Yeah.
Do you see the movie Fiddler on the Roof?
No.
Very famous, very famous movie from Topol was in the original movie. That's right. Back in Europe, the old country. So this is a very... When I say that word, a lot of Jews think about that because he has a song in that movie. It was actually my school play. I was 11 years old. We had a school play and I played the title role of Tevye, the milkman.
Oh, I played
and
the
You up on the roof up there?
Yeah.
And probably were. And I was the main character. There was a few of us, actually, because there were so many in the class. And one of the famous songs is Tradition. Because one of his daughters wants to marry out. And others are secularizing and all this kind of stuff. And it's a deal with his daughters who are going through this part of their lives. And they say, well, you've got to marry Jewish. And they say, why should I? And he says, tradition, tradition, da da, right? Da da da, tradition. I can't sing, but you get the idea. So interesting. Tradition, he said. That's the answer. Why would you? What's a Jew? Tradition. What's tradition in Hebrew?
Masorah.
Masorah, tradition, yeah. Interesting word, by the way. Tradition probably isn't a great translation of that word. We're going to define it. You're in the right place. Yes?
I always mentioned that it's part of my ethnicity and being part of
Jewish. Ethnicity. That's interesting. What's the difference between ethnicity? I've heard this a lot. What's the difference between ethnicity and culture? Yeah.
I think being Jewish shows up in your blood. I took a DNA test and it came up in my blood.
It came up in your blood? A DNA test? Really?
Yeah,
it came up in A blood Jewish. Type and Jewish.
It was
really?
DNA testing and it comes up with my whole family that we're all Jewish.
It may not say you're Jewish, but it may link you to Jews from the past. That may not necessarily make you Jewish. Because we've seen many African tribes that also have the quote-unquote Jewish gene. Right? There's a Cohen gene as well, which is prevalent. There's a lot of conferences per Cohenim, yeah. We have similar. But then they share with other people as well. Yeah, we'll take one more, yeah. Did you answer one already?
Yeah.
Oh, very good, okay. Carry on.
I guess it's a pact we have.
We what?
It's a pact.
A pact? Yes. Yeah, I get it. A pact, P-A-C-T, yeah?
Yeah, we have with God.
A pact with God. Okay. I happen to think, let me just go through this now, it happens stuff, but we'll come back to you guys as well. I happen to think that all of these are pretty much true. Everything written here is pretty good. And it pretty sums up a lot of who we are. However, if you don't mind, I'll play devil's advocate. If we go through them, we'll notice that you don't necessarily have to have pretty much any of these and you're still Jewish. As you don't believe in one God, are you still Jewish? Yeah. Still Jewish.
Oh.
Culture, lifestyle, many different types of culture. There's Jews in Persia, there's Jews in France, Jews in Russia, Jews 2,000 years ago. Or your religion? So, interestingly enough, we are, but we're also not a religion. This course is going to show you that Judaism is not a religion. We're going to come to that, actually. Believes the laws of Moses. Okay. Can't argue with that. But once again, do we all believe the law of Moses? And in order to be Jewish, do you have to know what that is? Could well be. Godly soul. Kabbalah. It's hard to answer that one. But definitely the Tanya, the Chabad writings, and Kabbalah does focus a lot on this aspect of what being a Jew is about. Kabbalah is, who's asked that? Thank you very much for asking that question, because many people hear words and they don't ask for the interpretation, they just like, kind of let it go. And it's important to know all your words. By the way, as a central point, we're going to use in the book all the semester, but as well as that, I'm going to put a lot of words on the board, especially ones in Hebrew. If I put a Hebrew word on the board, you're expected to know it, know the translation, and it'll probably come up in some test a little bit later, just so you know. Yes, I always do. I'm going to translate everything this semester. Everything. Most of them do English, but I'm going to do translations of everything. Kabbalah literally means the Kabbal, to receive, and it refers to, usually, mystical Judaism from the mystics. That's what it refers to.
Hmm?
Yes, we absolutely do. Do you have to believe in it? Is an interesting question. We have to believe there is some type of mystical Judaism. What it entails and its importance is another discussion, but that there is part of the oral tradition. We're going to talk about that later on. We're not to Torah, by the way, but we're going to talk about that later on, how it fits in. But yes, we absolutely do.
And I thought it's all the celebrities, like.
Mm. You're thinking of the Kabbalah Center. Yes. That's a business or a cult. Depends how you look at it. Probably a business that uses Kabbalah as a way to attract people to Judaism. I've read their courses, and I've met with a couple of their rabbis, and spoke to their rabbis, and it's mostly a business. I would say about 3-4% of what they talk about is actually true, and the rest is just airy-fairy. Okay, tradition. Okay. that's interesting. Ethnicity usually refers to, like, the foods and the clothing and that kind of stuff. But we eat different foods, right? Like, the Persians didn't grow up with kugel. And the Ashkenazim didn't grow up with choresh. That's okay. But there's an ethnic element to Jewish foods as well. Sometimes about there's halachic as well. Filter fish and chulent, by the way, as a side point. Chulent, more importantly, is not only a Jewish food, it's a political statement. One day we'll do a whole class just on chulent. There's a lot to chulent and its importance of eating a hot food on Shabbat. There's a reason why we do that. Pact with God. How to say that in Hebrew, by the way? Who said pact with God? What's that in Hebrew? It's a brit. Or a bris. Right? I'll be speaking mostly in Hebrew. Right? A brit, actually, is what we refer to as...
Hmm?
I speak Ashkenazi, but I have Ashkenazi students, so I mix both ways.
Oh.
I do, but it's a brit. Okay. Next question. And you can take notes, by the way. Feel free. These books are yours, by the way, to write on and use, but you take notes as well. Here's the next question. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Don't apologize for asking questions. Yes, you absolutely will.
What other books do you need for this
one? This is pretty much it, and articles I'll be bringing back down, yeah. Question. Can someone please share with this young lady, get closer a little bit? Okay. Who was the first Jew? That's a good question. We're trying to figure out what a Jew is. And we've got some pretty good definitions up here. We're going to add a lot to this, God willing. But let's figure out who started this whole Jewish company, jewishinc.com. It's a good website, that I registered that. What was your name again? Rachel. Rachel, yeah.
That's
my daughter's name. She's right there. Yes.
Abraham,
first Jew. Agree, not agree. Which hands up if you agree with that statement? Yeah? Okay, we'll go with Abraham. Moshe. Any other answers to this one? Yes? You have another answer? You put Abraham down. You're changing your mind, picking your first answer.
Are you asking for, like, forefathers?
I'm asking who the first Jew was.
Oh, okay.
My question is very specific. You still going with Abraham? And you still going with Moshe? Yeah? Anybody else? It's not a trick question, but it's a tricky question. Yes?
No,
don't be shy.
No, I mean, I think Abraham was, like, revealed after his sons were
born.
So? Before. So then when they were first.
So your answer is?
His son.
Yitzhak, Isaac.
Yeah.
Yitzhak. Who these people are, we're going to talk about a lot during the semester. Anybody else? A lot of different answers over here, right? Yeah. Adam and Eve. You've gone right back over there. Yeah, anybody else? We're thinking today. This is a good start. You're going with her. Great. Note. Duly noted. Duly noted. Anybody else? No one said me. I wasn't the first Jew. Okay, so we have a number of answers over here. Avram, Abraham, Moshe, Moses, Yitzhak, that's Abraham's son, Adam and Eve. I mean, you missed one out. Not that it's the right answer, but you did miss one out. Anyone else? Yeah?
Who missed one, you said?
Well, usually people give another one as well.
Too smart.
I play a lot of tennis this summer. Tennis is fantastic. My top spin is amazing. You're going down. Okay. You're a tennis player, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's happening.
I don't know about you.
Oh, snap. Oh, no, you didn't. Okay. Jacob. People usually say Jacob as well. Yaakov, Jacob. Okay. Why would they pick on Jacob? I mean, well, Abraham said, yes, he might as well throw Jacob in there. By the way, no one's even mentioned of the females. Abraham was married to someone called Sarah. I write this down if you don't know it, by the way. Right. Moshe was married to someone called. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu's mother's name? Very good. Yeah.
What was it?
What's Moshe? Let me start with this one. What was the name of the mother of Jesus?
Mary.
What's the name of the mother of Moses?
Yeah, that was his sister.
Sister was Miriam, yes. Moshe Rabbeinu's mother was not Mary. Moshe Rabbeinu's mother was Yocheved. Yeah, it's a little sad we know more about Christian thought, unfortunately. We'll see why. That's actually a reason why we'll know that. Moshe Rabbeinu's wife was Zipporah. That's correct.
She was a
Jew. I just learned all this from the Disney
movie. Yitzhak. Would you say what?
I just learned it all from the movie.
Which movie? Wow. I haven't seen
it.
I haven't.
That.
That, really?
Yeah.
I am so happy you're in my class. I kind of, my heart is exploding. You've made my day. Because you may have seen the movie. Don't worry, it's good. You may have seen the movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you learn the book.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I mean, I haven't seen that particular movie. I saw the original one, The Ten Commandments.
Yeah,
that was Moses.
No, that was my childhood. Yeah.
No, this is a really good movie that I should watch.
Your childhood is different from mine. Different decades, honey. Okay, Yitzhak was married to who? I mean, let's talk about the women. We've been there. Yeah, Yitzhak was married to... Rachel. Yaakov was married to Rachel. Yitzhak is married to Rivka. Adam was married to Eve. You threw her in there. We threw these together. I put her in there. And Yaakov was married to...
Leah.
Right. And Bilhah and Zilpah. What was the other side of her? Rachel and Leah. Okay, fine. That's interesting, by the way, because Rachel and Leah were... sisters. You have to figure that out as well. We're going to talk about that as well. Okay. So, actually, technically speaking, none of these are correct. They were all great people. They were all spiritual giants. So, actually, according to Rashi and the commentators, Sarah was greater than Abraham. Her level of prophecy, whatever that is, we'll talk about that, greater than Abraham Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet that ever lived. And Zipporah. Was a wonderful woman of Israel. Yes, I'm married to Rivka. She was a great Jewish woman, as was Isaac, obviously. Adam and Eve, vigor. None of them were Jewish. Actually, the only one who actually was Jewish was Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay?
So it's someone before him.
No.
Can we keep guessing?
You want to keep guessing?
Okay. Maybe still. Like, I'm asking in my matter of history.
Say, don't be shy. No. There's this class, there's no shyness. You have an idea in your head, no one laughs at you. There's no such thing as a silly question or an attempt at an answer. So please, we've got to get over that. That's how we're going to learn this class. Other class I don't know about. This class is discussionary, so we do it.
No
one knows this stuff.
I don't know any of those names.
You don't know any of these names?
No.
You're the best. You don't know how happy I am to have you in my class. You know what? Most Jews don't know any of these names. You're going to learn them. You're going to know them. You're going to have them for the rest of your life. You're going to hang them onto your kids one day as well. So you shouldn't be embarrassed. You should be delighted. You're here learning these names. Yes?
This is
Mechina,
right?
Yes,
Mechina. Everyone's
like
super
knowledgeable.
No. This is a very common thing. I've been doing this for many years. Let me tell you something. You think they are? A lot of these are just names that they heard in movies, right? Or they've heard in some class somewhere. Or someone just threw out. They just threw up a name they've heard. Do not worry. You're in absolutely the right place.
Sorry.
They have no idea who these people are or what they did or why they did them. Don't worry.
So I should guess?
Please.
Hashem.
Interesting answer.
That was good.
Very interesting answer.
Oh, thank you.
God. Good answer.
Thank you. Is it the right one?
Well. We're going to figure that out together. Anybody else? You know, it's not math where 1 and 1 equals 2. There's a lot of black and white. But when you get older, you get to college, you start studying Torah, different discussions, different disputes, different answers. There's an expression in the Talmud, well, that is what it's got to say, that there's 70 facets to Torah. There's 70 ways, Shiva Panim Torah, 70 different ways to understand one idea. You can have many answers in different ways, and they all could be correct. Yeah? Noach. That's interesting. This is actually totally out of order genealogically, but we'll put Noah over here. Okay.
What's
You know who Noah was? Noah?
Ark.
Saw that movie?
Ark.
Yes, that's what that was about. Yeah, he had an ark, that's right. That's right, yeah. Okay, Noah was not Jewish. Actually, Noah epitomizes, we're going to see, a non-Jew. Everything we have about the obligation of a non-Jew, we're going to learn, comes from Noah. There are actually going to be 7 laws that we're going to learn together during this course that are actually the laws for non-Jews. And those laws are called the 7 laws of Noah, of Noah. So we're going to be working that out together of his very important role in world history. But he was not Jewish. Now, if he wasn't Jewish, bless you, Adam and Eve couldn't be Jewish either because they lived before him. There were 10 generations, write this down, between Adam and Eve and Noah. And then there were 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. Okay. And then Abraham had a son called Isaac. And Isaac had a son called Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, which we're going to learn together. You may remember some of the names of them. There was Yosef, Joseph, was the son of Jacob.
Okay.
First comes Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob. Abraham, Yitzhak, the Yaakov.
So
they are called the forefathers. Now, the mistake many people make is they think forefathers is F-O-U-R, it's F-O-R-E. They are the fathers that came before us. F-O-R-E. Okay? They are the forefathers. No, no. Forefathers. Isn't it Avot? We say Avot is F-O-R-E, which means they came before. Not Arba, but before.
Oh, before.
Forefathers. That's what it was. So there's 3 forefathers. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're going to be focusing, ladies, the next couple of weeks on this individual over here, Abraham. Okay? Although technically speaking, Abraham was not Jewish. I know it's a weird thing to hear, but technically speaking, he was not Jewish. We have to define what a Jew is, yes?
Because his mom wasn't Jewish?
It's because his mother wasn't Jewish, because he wasn't Jewish. But once we get to the first Jew, we're going to assume their mother wasn't Jewish anyway, right? So something happened at some point that Judaism as we know it began, correct? I mean, something occurred at some point. The question is, who did it occur to? When did it occur to, and why? And we know who it happened to. We know when it happened, exactly, precisely the year, the month, the day, the moment, and we know why. Yeah.
You said there was 10 generations between Adam and Eve and Noah and who else?
And Noah to Abraham is another 10 generations. Okay, you're following me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Adam comes and Eve comes first. Then we go to generations of Noah, Noah to Abraham, and Abraham is Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. And then generations later, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, who is a descendant, direct descendant of Yaakov, through his son, Levi. Moses was a Levi. What that means, we'll come to, but that means from the tribe of Levi. That means his great-great-grandfather was Jacob's son, whose name was Levi. That's all. Nothing complicated, weird, or spooky. Okay? Any questions? Please ask questions. Yes? No. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Just one of Jacob's 12 sons was called Levi. One of his sons was called Levi. Okay? Okay, I want to give you the answer, although it's actually not so pertinent right now. The Jewish people began in the year... Anybody know this year? It's the only year you're going to have to know when it comes to... I mean, pretty much to Judaism. We're not so interested in the years. We are obsessed with the months. Months we are into. But the years are not so much. When you study art history, you're going to study a lot of years. It's actually painful, and if you ask me, pretty unnecessary. But, we'll leave that aside. But when it comes to Judaism, the years aren't majorly important. The month within the year are. There's a very real reason why. But there's one year you're going to have to learn, and you're going to have to know. Because in that year, a lot of stuff happened. Does anyone know the key year in Jewish thought? Well, first of all, what year are we in right now? Jewish year. 577.
Five.
Nope.
Five.
Five going into six. Okay, so that's where we are right now. 5, 7, 7, 5. That's where we are right now. So when did the whole Jewish thing begin? This is the key year to write down. 2, 4, 4, 8.
Can you?
2, 4, 4, 8 is the year. No, no, this is the Jewish year. This is the Jewish year, 2, 4, 4, 8. So someone get your calculator out.
That's not BC.
5, 7, 7, 5, no, is the Jewish year. Go back and work out how many years ago is 2, 4, 4, 8. It should be 3,326 or something. Don't get a calculator out. Just don't figure out, yeah. We're going to go with the year zero, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Now, what happened to year zero, we can discuss, and what happened before year zero, we can discuss as well. But we start the counting from that point. Yeah, go on, figure out. You got a calculator on your little, yeah, sure. It's a big calculator you got over there.
The tablet.
I know.
What happened?
I'm going to tell you.
Wait, so zero was Adam and Eve?
Let's go with zero being Adam and Eve right now, yeah. Yeah? It's more complicated than that, but let's go with that right now.
How about the dinosaurs?
We're going to come to dinosaurs. I'm going to come to dinosaurs. It's a whole chapter of my book I wrote. Yes. Yes.
3,327.
And what? 27. In your head?
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Math major?
No, bio.
Good enough.
But I like math.
337. That's how many years ago it all began. 3,327. Which falls, I think, 1313 BCE. What happened in this year that I'm so obsessed with it? I just told you. The Jewish world began. Well, where did it begin? So in this year, so we're going to jump a little bit. We're going to come back and fill in the missing details. In this year, the Jewish Hebrews... What that word is going to come to and define that precisely for you, became the Jewish people. Together, at one point, when they stood at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, as well as being a hospital on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, before it was that, it was a location. A location outside of Israel. So the Jewish people left Egypt after 210 years. How we got into Egypt, we're going to discuss. But they left Egypt, and they walked for 49 days. So from Egypt, write this down, we're going to fill this all in for you later. Do not panic. But from Egypt to Mount Sinai took 49 days. We actually count those 49 days every single year, the same 49 days in the same pattern as they did. 49 days after we left Egypt, we got a place called Mount Sinai, which is the Sinai Desert, which is outside of Israel, and we stood as a people, and we all became Jewish in one moment. So the real answer, I think, to the question is, who was the first Jew? Was everyone at the same time, instantaneously. Now, in the movies, they may have Moses going up the mountain, coming back, and telling everyone what happened. That's not the version in the book. The book does not say that. The book says that everyone, the entire people, all heard and were all part of this thing. So I'm going to answer this question. Now, many people say Abraham. By the way, it's not untrue to say Abraham was, but pretty much he wasn't. It's not untrue to say Moses was. Really, the entire Jewish people were at the same time. That's a very, very important point, and actually is the reason, I'm jumping here a little bit, that we are not a religion.
I don't understand why
I know, but you're going to. It's just an introduction to the course. We're going to cover all this and fill all this in. This is just, we're introing over here, people, yeah? But just put it somewhere in your cerebellum. That's the reason we're not a religion. If you want to know what we are, because I don't leave you hanging, is we're a relationship.
But what does it mean?
I'm going to tell you.
No. You say that, I mean, what does that mean to become a Jew?
What actually happened? So what actually, that's the question. What happened that we became Jewish? And the answer is? What, just being there did it for us? Well, actually it did, but she's saying, but what happened there? We just stood there, we got suntans, right? We ate falafel. What happened there that suddenly became Jewish? And the answer is, this is the key question, which we're going to have to figure out the answer to. We became obligated in the Torah.
Yeah, but Moshe was the first who got the Ten Commandments.
We were all heard it together. Moshe and the entire Jewish people at the same time.
But he wasn't the one that...
He was on the mountain. But everyone heard, everyone was there. Hashem
broke
the Luchot. 40 days later, they were broken. The first Luchot. Second one's Hashem wrote. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. The first one's God wrote. But everyone heard the first two commandments directly from Hashem. We were all in it together. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest prophet that ever lived. We'll discuss that in time, why that's important and what a prophet is. But the Jewish people were in it together. Ish echad, belev echad. We were like one person, is the expression. Yes.
So while they were standing together on the top of Mount Sinai?
They weren't on the top of Mount Sinai. They were around Mount Sinai.
Okay,
it's mentioned. So they're around the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up. But the entire Jewish people have got to be. And that's the reason why we're not a religion. I know you don't. That's okay. You don't have to at this point. But we're going to understand that. You're going to know that precisely. And it's going to make a lot of sense to you in a couple of weeks. Okay? So hang in there. Write it down so that you remind me to... But I will extrapolate. That's a very important part of this course. Yeah.
But in that moment when they heard the first two commandments, is when they became Jewish?
They became obligated in the laws and they became Jewish. Those are the first Jews. From that point on, Judaism got passed down through the mother. Now, why through the mother and the father is an interesting question. The tribe went through the father. That's why if your father is Sephardi, you're Sephardi. The father's Ashkenazi. The tribe always went through the father. But the mother's the one that created. Why is another interesting question, but that's the way it went down.
Sure. One
of the reasons.
No, really.
100%. One of the reasons, you know for sure. Okay. That's when it all began. That's the month. This is about the month. What month did we leave? Egypt, let's put it down because we discussed it anyway, but we'll go into more detail. The month is called Nisan. Nisan is the month we left Egypt. The 15th day, actually, of Nisan is the precise day. And that's when we left Egypt. And we traveled 49 days till we got to this point and became Jewish. This has been a very good overview of pretty much where we're going to be going this entire semester. We're going to be fleshing out these ideas in a lot more detail. Yes. Happened not in the month. It took 49 days. It took a month and a half. From Nisan, right through 49 days, so we get to Mount Sinai. In the month of Sivan. We're going to learn the months as well. So a lot of what we're going to be doing this semester is just kind of like stuff you've got to know. You've got to know the name of the months. You've got to know the tribes. You've got to know who, where, when. But most importantly, you're going to learn why. Good? Any questions on anything we discussed today? You should have lots of them. But we're going to answer them over the coming weeks and months we'll be spending together. Isn't that good? Fantastic. Okay. We have a little bit more time left, so I want to go back. I want to focus on someone who stands out and is pulled out from this bunch as being someone very important. So if we're going to go back in time, we're not discussing Judaism, really, are we? I mean, we are, but we aren't. Because we didn't become the Jewish people until that moment. So, but we're going to go back in time now. We're going to TiVo back. And we're going to discuss Abram and Sarah. Okay? And God. Because God's an important part of this, obviously. We're going to focus on him. We're not going to go back further and discuss Noah. And we're not going to go back further and discuss Adam and Eve. Very important characters. And you will study about them. But there's very little written on Adam and Eve in the Torah. Some stories. But Abraham stands out. Abraham stands out. Please open the books you have been given. Let us see some sources and try to figure out who this Abraham was. So, what I've done is I've put together this course book for you so that you can see the sources in Hebrew. I've put the translation so you can follow in the English. You don't need to know this translation to all the Hebrew words. However, there'll be some words that I'm going to pull out and I'm going to put on the board with a translation. And those words you do need to know. I do that not because I want to torture you, although I don't have a social life, so it would sound like fun. I do it because some words are words you're going to hear again and again and again, and you're going to have to understand what those words mean, but sometimes, more importantly, what they refer to. Because they refer to other things. Does that make sense? In other words, you can have a word, but the word can encapsulate a concept. Right? If I said I was on the web this morning, there's two possibilities. One, I was hanging out with a spider on his web. Or two, I was on the internet. Okay, the word web has a lot of deep connotations. So too, we're going to be doing a lot of Hebrew. Hebrew, we'll do a whole class just on why Hebrew is so important. Hebrew is going to reveal things to us that other languages, like English, cannot reveal to us. We go to the depth of what those words are. Okay? So I'll be doing that as well. Not to upset you, to frustrate you, but Hebrew we're going to see is the Jewish mechanism to uncover ideas that otherwise are hidden. That's what Hebrew does. Okay? Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to be on page 2. And on page 2, we're going to look at the words of the Rambam. Has anyone heard of the name Rambam before? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Do you know what the Rambam, the word Rambam, actually refers to?
The what?
Rambam. What does it mean? That wasn't his name. So it's worth knowing this. Rambam is Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon. Rabbi Moshe? Rabbi Moshe Ben, which means the son of Maimon. Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon. So what they do in Judaism is they take this long name, and they just take the first letters and put it together. You've all heard of Rashi. Rashi wasn't his name. We're going to look at Rashi, and we're going to read his writings. Rashi is Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. Who's actually his father's name. Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. Rashi. Actually, he went by Shai, and then later on they called him Rabbi, so that one's Rashi. So when you hear Rashi, he's referring to a Jew who lived in France 1,000 or so years ago, born in Troy, and he is like the what's called the super commentator. He wrote commentaries on the Torah and on the Talmud. And the first place you pretty much go to when you read the Torah, the Bible, is you go to Rashi's words. That's what you're looking at. Okay? The Rambam came a little later. The Rambam lived in Spain and Egypt. And he did something which no one else ever did. He took all the laws, by the way, he's the only person in Jewish history that ever did this, which shows what a massive task it was. He took the entire Torah, the written Torah and the oral Torah. We'll discuss what the oral Torah is, but all the notes that go with the written Torah, and made them into laws. Very simple, easy, and clear laws to understand. And he called that book the Mishnah Torah, which means the repetition and the learning of the Torah. That's what he did. It shows what a big task is. No one else, people have done bits and pieces. He did the entire thing. Rambam. Rashi commented and explained words and ideas. The Rambam took the entire Torah and he made it into laws to understand, and he put it into a big book. We're going to visit that book a lot during this course, and you will in Jewish life. Yes.
So, I'm sorry. I'm just wondering if you can read
the oral, written oral Torah. That's what Rambam did. And he made it into law.
But he didn't do anything else with the already
written. No. He discussed ideas from it in order to make it into understandable, nice, easy law. Okay.
And what was that called?
The Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah. Let's write that down. This is worth knowing, people. I advise you to write it down. So the Rambam, he wrote a number of books, but the most famous one is the Mishnah Torah. What do you mean the repetition? He repeated and he got all the laws out of it. That means there's a track, there's a piece called Shabbat. There's one called Holidays, Manim, and he's got laws on Sukkah, Lulav, and Charity, you name it. The Rambam makes law out of it. He explains it to us. Okay?
But why? Like, how did he know?
Great question. Because he studied the Torah and the Talmud, and he made decisions. It was a big thing to do, by the way. It wasn't such an easy... I mean, big thing to have it accepted. That's what I mean. As well as being a massive task, it was a big thing to get it accepted. But it was. Yeah?
Is Rambam a person?
Yes, his father was Maimon. His name was Moshe. Yes.
How long did it take
him
to do that?
Oof, many years, I'm not sure. I'm sure a couple of decades. Yes.
So, today, do we accept that?
So, we... Good question. Today, we read it, we study it. It's a very important book. Very important book. But we don't always follow the laws of the Rambam. Because later on, somebody else, Rabbi Yosef Karo, we'll discuss later on, he took bits of the Rambam and said, this we do, this we don't do. I'll give you one interesting example. I'll give you a very interesting example. That's why it's a whole discussion how Torah works. We're not there. Anyway, but I'll give you one interesting example since you mentioned it. You know, we don't speak between washing our hands and eating bread. So I think we do until Siddayim. Before we eat bread, we wash our hands with a vessel. We do one, two, if you're Sfardi, a third time on one hand. And then one, two, if you're Sfardi, three times. One is actually enough, but we have the custom to do more. Why? Because water is a sign of blessing. We want to add more to it. And we spot him like a lot of money and blessings. So, right? So one, two, one, two, one, two. So the law is we don't speak between washing hand and eating bread. Right? You've been to Shabbat before? Yeah? Have you experienced that before? Yeah? Why not? By the hardest myth of any Jew, not to talk in between washing hands and eating bread. Asking any Jew not to talk for 2 minutes already is, and a Shabbaton with 50 people, it's like almost impossible. Why don't we speak? Because it's called Hesach Adat. It may take our attention away from our hands being clean. We may touch things while we're talking, and then we make our hands dirty again. So we don't talk. The Rambam says, you can talk. We don't follow the Rambam in that. Interestingly enough, we don't follow the Rambam. Right? We don't talk. But the Rambam says, you can schmooze away. The Rambam says, you can. That's one small, tiny example of a lot. Yes?
Why does he say you can't talk?
He doesn't consider it to be a problem that you'll come and do things. You'll be aware enough.
Like it's not a distraction?
Not a distraction. That's the Rambam's view, I guess. That's pretty much it. Yes?
Wait, but from where do we follow the lesson that we don't talk?
The law of the talk comes from the Shulchan Aruch, which was a few hundred years after that point. Yeah. We'll see why. We're going to get there. We're jumping ahead a little bit too much, but we're going to get there. We'll see. We'll follow the chain of Torah to see who figured out who got it right and who we follow. Yes? The word Mishnah means a teaching, but it also means to repeat. We'll see why it has both of those. Okay, I want to just do one piece of Rambam inside. So this is from the Mishnah Torah. Which chapter are we studying right now? This piece is taken from a chapter called Avodah Zarah, which means idol worship. There's a chapter the Rambam wrote all about idol worship. Now, is idol worship, for your basic rudimentary knowledge of Judaism, is idol worship a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad thing.
So we're going to assume in the chapter called Idol Worship, the Rambam is pretty much telling us things that we cannot do. Right? Now, we don't have idol worship nowadays. We have American idol worship.
Why, in church, do you don't idol worship?
Good question. We'll come to that. Probably not.
Well, we cannot go to church.
We cannot go. For us, maybe it is. For them, maybe it isn't. We're going to come to that. That's an interesting question. Muslims, definitely not, by the way. But real idol worship, they say, doesn't exist anymore. That's what they say. Okay. But you still can't do it, even if it were to exist. At the beginning of this chapter on idol worship, the Rambam discusses Abraham. Why? Why would the Rambam, on this chapter, discussing the laws of idol worship, which you can't do, is he going to discuss Abraham? How did he jump to Abraham? Why doesn't he discuss Moses or Joshua? There were many great Jews that lived beforehand who had to deal with idol worshippers.
Didn't Abraham's father own an idol shop?
Very, very good. Abraham's father... What was his father's name? This is good information. Write this down. It's okay you don't know this. That's why you're in my class. If you knew this, you wouldn't have to be in my class. Abraham had a father. His father's name was Terach. Terach. His father... Whoa! I'll give you English and Hebrew. Terach. Terach. By the way, does everyone know Hebrew letters in script yet?
No.
You don't? Okay. Next class, remind me. That happens a lot. I'm going to go through all the letters, you get them, and it takes a little bit of practice, and you're good to go. Okay, but you have to know, because no one writes block Hebrew. Everyone here, and everyone in the Jewish world, when they write Hebrew, they write like that. Nachon? Right. So we're going to do it together. I'm going to write out the letters for you. You can even look them up yourself, but you're going to have to know them, because everyone writes Hebrew like this. Okay? Great. We'll take you 20 minutes. Trust me. Okay, Terah. So Abraham's father's name was Terah. Terah is famous for one thing, two things. One is having a son like Abraham, and two, for owning an idol shop. We Jews, right? When we do it, let's do it. We sell it. You know what I'm saying? We make a business out of it.
Yeah,
an idol. There's money to be made. Shaggy's there, baby. Shaggy discount. Okay. So Terah had an idol shop. Now the Midrash tells a very interesting story. But this is the story which all kids hear. You didn't get to go through Jewish school, so you're going to hear it for the first time. But every five-year-old Jewish kid knows this story, but it's from a Midrash, which means stories that were passed down over time. Terah had a big idol store. Abraham, we're going to see. Abraham didn't like this idol store and stopped believing in idols, which, by the way, in those days was a big deal, because everyone was idol worshipping. And his father left the store, and then Abraham, the young boy, was told to be in charge of the store. He took a large sledgehammer, he smashed all the idols in the store, a famous story, smashed all the idols. I actually have a modern version of this, one of my students did, but we'll leave that aside for another time. If you remind me, I'll tell you that story. Happened here in Manhattan. Smashed all the idols, but left the largest idol alone. And he put that idol into the hands. So put the axe into the hand, the sledgehammer, into the hands of this large idol. Stuck it there. Father comes back, says, "Oh my goodness." I'll say, "Oh my God." "Oh my idol worship. All my idols are smashed and destroyed. Who did this?" And little Abraham said, "The big idol did." And Abraham's father Terah said, "Crazy? It's an idol. He can't do anything. He can't even move." And Abraham said, "Then why are you worshipping him?" That's the story. There's a lot of depth to that story under the surface, but we'll just take it on the surface alone right now. And his father actually ended up joining Abraham and leaving idol worship alone. I want to tell you something. The people who worship idols were not crazy. They saw things in the world, in nature, we don't see. They were very brilliant. There was a great desire for it, and it happened for thousands of years. This desire was there. We see a tree, We see a tree. They saw a tree. They saw the essence of that tree. They saw a godliness in that tree, which is true, but they worshipped it. We see a leaf, we see a leaf. We see a rock, we see a rock. I'll tell you what Abraham did. Write these words down. We're going to finish with this today. It was a long class, I know. Abraham created something which nobody else really started doing before. Ethical monotheism. Ethical monotheism. That, ladies, is why Abraham is so famous. And his wife Sarah. And that is what the Jewish people are really all about. Everything else is stemming from that point. Ethical monotheism.
Abraham created that?
He wasn't the first monotheist. He was the first one to do something about it.
So who was the first?
Adam. Adam knew there was a God.
Yeah, but he knew. Abraham didn't.
Noah knew. Abraham figured it out. We're going to see. How, we'll see. He figured it out. And then he did something about it. Noah knew it, but didn't do enough about it. That's why Noah is pushed aside a little bit, and Abraham is pulled out.
But Noah got talked to him, Abraham.
He was a prophet, absolutely. He was the first one to do something about it. He was a monotheist. He was the first one to act upon his belief. It's a big, big difference between knowing and then doing. Abraham was a doer. Ladies, it's been fantastic. We're going to stop over there. I will see you all, God willing, on Thursday for continuing.